Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Everybody's awake. I thought maybe y'all went to sleep while Pastor was up here. You know, I thank God for an opportunity to be before you this morning. And I thank him because I do serve an awesome God, like that song was playing. I've been through a lot, and I've come through a lot, and God has always pulled me through. So I praise and I thank him for the opportunity to share what he gives me. Because what he gives to me, I want to give it to you so that you can understand his word a little bit better. But then also maybe see a little bit of a testimony from someone who's had a test who can show you that God is awesome. The other day I was looking at something on the internet. And this popped up, so I'm going to read it to you guys because it also kind of relates to my message that I'm going to give to you this morning. There was a Christian soldier who was willing to serve the Lord along with his military career. He was so committed to his faith in Christ, he often faced disdain and mockery by his fellow soldiers, including his commanding officer. So one morning after parade, the commanding officer called out the believer soldier, handed him over a car key, and said, "Go drive that car and park it by the commander's office." The believer soldier pleaded with his commander because he did not know how to drive. The believer soldier did not know that the assignment was a plot to ridicule him and prove to him that his God is worthless. Because it's customary in the military to obey your superior instructions, he took the keys from his commander, marched to the car, started the engine, and drove it, parked it neatly in front of the commander's office. When he returned to the parade group to return the keys to his commander, he saw his colleagues and his commander wailing and weeping. They are all begging to know his God. Why? The car the believer drove minutes ago had no engine. So what is that telling us? We have an awesome God. If God sends you to do something, he'll make a way for you to do it. Now, we have a lot of people that don't have faith, that they love God, they're encouraged by God, and they're even encouraged by what we say to them. But where's your faith? Where's your faith? You got to hang on to that faith. Because I'm here to tell you, if I didn't hang on to my faith, I wouldn't be standing here talking to you. There is no way that I would be saying one word to you if I didn't have faith. You have to walk by faith, not by sight, by faith. My message today is I serve an awesome God. How about you? My first scripture is Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arms. There is nothing too hard for you. And then I have Genesis 18:9-14. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" He said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were both old, well advanced in their age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why does Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child, since I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return, and you, according to the time of life, Sarah shall have a son." And then I have Exodus 14:10-16. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to lie in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve in Egypt'? For it would have been better for us to serve in Egypt with the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again and no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your sword and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea." And then I have Daniel 3, 12 through 25. "There were certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold images which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake, saying to them, "It is true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods and worship the gold image which I have set up. Now if you are ready at that time, you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyric, and psaltery, and cymbal, with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery fire. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this manner. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, if it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was fully fury and expressed on his face change. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he spoke and handed that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fire. Therefore, because the king's man was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished as he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of Jesus." I spent a lot of time on these scriptures because they were awesome to me, because, like I said, I serve an awesome God. And to hear the things that God has done in others' lives and in the Word of God, it clearly tells you the things that He has done is awesome. And He is awesome. And to study this Word meant a lot. When we look at this teaching, there was also one more, and it was in Matthew 17, 22. I'm not going to read the whole scripture. But Jesus and Peter were approached by the tax collector. So he had to show them that he served an awesome God. He had to show them that he believed in the Lord and that the Lord was going to prevail for him and bring him through it. He sent him to the ocean. The first fish you see, get this coin. Do you know anybody else that can do that? No. You see all these musicians and they go behind their back and they pull this out and they pull it out. Jesus didn't have to do that. All he had to do was trust and obey his Father. Because his Father is an awesome God. And that's all he's asking us to do. Have faith, trust, and obey his will and his word. And if we're not sure what it is, take some quality time and spend that time alone with him and ask him, where are you directing me? What are you telling me to do? How do I go about doing what you're telling me to do? I want to be who you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be pleasing in your sight. In your sight. There is another song, and it's, you can't beat God given. No matter how you try, you can't beat him given. What happens? You wake up in the morning. Who woke you up? Who opened your eyes? Who gave you food to eat? Who put clothes on your back? And the reason that song came to me is because when I was a child, every third Sunday was Youth Day. The adults did nothing. Even the youth brought the word. The adults did nothing but supervise. And my mom was a Sunday school superintendent and also a missionary. So they always ask her to be in charge. And why my mother? That means I got to behave myself. But anyway. So every time we would complain about what we had to do, she would make us sing this song. Most people think that this song is about giving money. It's not. It's about giving of you. And that's what she would tell us. You know, God only asks you to give of your time. You're a child. What can you do? What money do you have? So why would this song be here for everybody if it was just about money? So what does God do for you? Don't you think that you should give him more? Don't you see that you are serving an awesome God who is worth worshiping, who is worth giving of your time, who is worth giving of your effort? Don't you think? And I'm like, okay, she's going to drive that point home. She's driven it home to me at home already. But she's going to make me listen to it here in church. So I'm going to sit here and listen, because if I don't, I know what's going to happen to me. But that was the point she tried to get us all to see, is you cannot be God-given. Why? Because he loved you enough. Every time you sin, what happens? He forgives. What is that? Giving. Every time you forget about something that you shouldn't have forgot, what does he do? He forgives. What is that? Giving. But then what is that? That's an awesome God who's taking care of you. He's giving you all that you need to succeed in life. He is giving you everything that you need to succeed in life. And that main thing is he gave his son. You can't beat him giving, because he gave his son. And he didn't give his son for money. That didn't mean nothing. It was nothing about money that he gave his son for. He gave his son for yours and my sins. So we need to be more appreciative of what God is doing for us, because we serve an awesome God. One of the things that give me pleasure and confidence in as a believer is that I know I serve a God of assurance. I serve a God of assurance, a God that knew beforehand who I was, what I need, and even before I even ask him for what I think I need, he already knows exactly what I do need and is ready to supply it when I ask for it. That is a God of assurance, but that's also an awesome God. I mean, truly awesome God. And how do we know that God is awesome? We go to the Word, like I said, Genesis 18, 9 through 14. At the age of 90, when God affirms his promise unto Abraham's wife, Sarah, to bear a son through a visiting angel, Sarah herself doubted. Why? Because she was past age of having children. To her, the prophecy contradicted nature and science, which God can do that. But when God is in any matter, nature and science means absolutely nothing. Then we also have Exodus 14. We saw the account of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. Now, can you imagine the Red Sea is really deep? So when that water came out, it wasn't easy for you to just walk in there. That was going to be a problem getting through there, even though it was dry land. Nature and science says, there's going to be a problem with you walking through here, even though it's dry land. But when God says it, it's done. You will not even realize how hard it was, because it won't be hard anymore. Because he has your back, your side, your top, your bottom, your front, and everywhere. And he gets you through. Without God, we are nothing. We are absolutely nothing. But we serve an awesome God. Then we have Jonah, chapter 1, verse 17. How did Jonah survive 3 days in the belly of a fish? A lot of people say the belly of a whale, but the Word of God says a big fish. So how did Jonah survive in the belly of a fish with no ventilation? How did the fish survive with that staying in him and not being able to digest it? I can answer that question for you if you want me to. We serve an awesome God. He can do anything but fail. That's why Jonah, even though he did not want to be there, he got put there anyway, and the Lord brought him back out. I'm sure the fish was happy that he came out, but you know, he had to do what God wanted him to do. And he did. And then we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many of us will defy our ruler and say, I am not going to follow your word? I'm going to do what my God says to do. And if my God doesn't deliver me, either way you go, I'm going to be delivered. Because if I burn in the fiery furnace, I'm going to heaven because I obey God's will. If God doesn't want me to leave this earth, he's going to save me from that fiery furnace. How many of us have that faith? How many of us can stand and say, I have that faith? I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know that I have that faith. I know that I pray that I will. If that ever presented itself to me, I pray to God that I will be able to withstand anything for him. Because I serve an awesome God, and I need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is going to save me one way or another. Because if he doesn't save me to stay on earth, I'm going to heaven, which is even better than being on earth. So I'm still saved, sanctified, and filled with God's precious Holy Ghost. And I'll be able to shout with the angels. So either way it goes, I'll be able to shout with the angels. I can shout down here, and I can shout up there. And then we have Like I said, Jesus, when they tried to set him up for failure, they tried to get him locked up, but God intervened there too. One little fish with one little coin, and the tax collectors were astonished with, what is this? How is this? How can this? He has a father who loves him. And that father that loved Jesus is the same awesome God that we serve. And he's also, guess what? Our father too. We're his children as well. We are children of a living God. And that's why Nebuchadnezzar, that's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't follow the king, because they serve an awesome living God. He wanted them to worship a dead piece of metal that he had created himself. Why should I do that? Why am I going to worship that over there when I have an awesome living God who supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory, who loves me in spite of all of my flaws? He still loves me. He loved me from the day I was born till right now. 74 years, he's loved me. Regardless of mistakes I made, regardless of the flaws, he loves me. And guess what? He loves each and every one of you too. It doesn't matter what you've done, who you've done it to. None of that even matters. When you turn to God and say, Father, forgive me, I know not what I was doing. And you mean that. Because why? We serve an awesome God. We truly serve an awesome God. And then lastly, I did have one more scripture that I didn't put up there. And it's John 11, 14 through 44. And it's about Lazarus. Martha and Mary had a brother named Lazarus. And they were really upset with Jesus because he didn't save them. He let their brother die. They were really upset with him. And so Jesus shows up. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And he smells awful. He says, loose him and let him go. The dead, stinking, and decomposing Lazarus was revived and restored. It didn't matter how long he'd been dead. And what that is saying to us, we have dead situations. Don't matter how long, doesn't matter how long those situations have been dead. It doesn't matter how long we've been going in the wrong direction. It doesn't matter how long we've been sitting still and doing nothing and saying, I'm trusting and waiting on you, Lord. None of that matters. What matters is we need to turn to God and remember that he's an awesome God. And he will work for us. He will fight our battles. He will pull us through all types of hard times. He's never too busy for us. How many times have you called mom or dad? Talking to the children now. How many times have you called mom or dad and they didn't answer the phone? And you were at school and it was something really, really bad going on. And you were just so mad. Mom and dad's not answering this phone. I need you now. How many times? When you truthfully call on God, he's not like mom and dad. He answers that phone. And I'm going to tell you who told me that. Bentley got into a stiff at school one day and I had to go back to pick him up. And I hadn't even left school good. I turned around and go back. I get back to the school. He said, you're almost like Jesus. I said, what are you talking about? Every time I call on the Lord, he comes right there. And you came right here today. I said, boy, that was the Lord sending me right there. That's what that was. But I just want you guys. Oh, and I did have one more family thing I wanted to share. I thought about it just now when I said Bentley. when we were going to a different church, Bimbi had to bring the word and sing a solo. And he was like, Ghani, I can't do it. I just can't do it. Oh, no, Ghani, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I said, boy, you better shut up and talk to the Lord, not me. So he said, but I can't do it, Ghani. So I had a friend that was helping him to learn the song and sing it the right way, a friend that owned a production company. So he's going to help him learn the song and sing it the right way, a cappella, and not use the music. So he said, okay, maybe if I can do that. Right in the middle of rehearsal, he lost his voice. I mean, just totally went away. He couldn't even talk for 2 days. So he would write me a note. Call me Sheila and tell her I can't do it. Call me Sheila and tell her, no, I'm not doing that. That's up to you. You better learn to talk so you can tell me Sheila. So he gets up in church that Sunday when he said, I started to call me Sheila and tell her I couldn't do it. And he thought, oh, no, I better not do that. God, the devil is a lie. God's going to make a way for me to do this, to do this message and sing this song. So the devil is a lie. So I'm here to tell you this morning, the devil is a lie. All you got to do is trust your awesome God. I thank you. Father God, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that everything that I've given to your people was something to assist, something to help, something to minister. I pray, God, that you will minister to them as well. Give them everything that they need this week. Help them to move through this week in a soft, smooth way, trusting and believing and knowing that they have an awesome God whom they can depend on and that you're always there. You're not like mom and dad that might not answer that phone. If they call you with a sincere heart and a sincere mind, that you're going to answer that call. They just have to trust and believe that you're there to fight that battle. You're there to get them through that day. You're there to help them to understand and to realize that you are all they need. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray with thanksgiving in my heart. Amen.